praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Well, Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. And Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Welcome to Spokane First Baptist Church. We have the privilege to come before God Almighty and worship Him. And He promises to meet with us, to speak with us, to love us, to encourage us. Yes, sometimes to actually bring something to our minds that we need to take care of. But what a privilege it is to come before a holy and righteous God. C.H. Spurgeon said this: have your heart right with God, and He will visit you often, and so turn weekdays into Sundays, meals into sacraments, homes into temples, and earth on heaven. Worship does not happen just here. It happens in your home as well, when our hearts are right with God. Join me in prayer, please. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for this opportunity. May we not waste it this morning. May your Spirit come and just so anoint us, and we will give you the praise in your name. Amen.
Let's turn to page 546. 546, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. See? comes, his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Page 15, turn to page 15.
Of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me the song, the loudest sonnet, sung by living tongues of old. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, mount of my redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the to rescue me from danger, interpose my precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Come to the wonder,
look at that last line, the next to the last line. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Does that line bother any of you? Prone to wander. Here is a man being absolutely honest. Here's who I am. I have really got to pay attention to myself because I'm prone to wander away. And there's nothing wrong with identifying that within yourself. But know also that God has provided us that which is necessary and will reveal to us those times and when we are wandering, or those times that somebody that loves us tremendously comes up and like the African said, hey, your prayer spot is kind of getting grown up. We are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Help me. Help me not do that.
Every anxious thought that steals my breath, it's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. Cause you're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will fear no more. Oh, 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 oh. Well, I will lift my eyes, I will lift my cares, lay them in your hands, I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, you shelter me. Even though I'm in the storm is not in me. 'Cause you're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength 'cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. Well, I will fear no more. No power can come against me, 'cause you have overcome. No darkness can overwhelm me, 'cause you've already won. No power can come against me, 'cause you have overcome. No darkness can overwhelm me, 'cause you've already won. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength 'cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. Well, I will fear no more. Well, I will fear no more. Every time I tried to make it on my own, every time I tried to stand, start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I've built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, couldn't see it then, but I could see it now. And there was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay, I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. In the mountains, in the valleys,
there was Jesus.
In the shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire and the flood, always in and always was. No, I never walk alone. You are always there. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. Well, I lay me down. I lay me down.
I lay me down.
I lay me down.
I lay me down.
A living sacrifice to you. A living sacrifice to you. Well, I lay it down.
I lay it down.
I lay it down.
I lay it down.
Well, I lay it down. A pleasing sacrifice to you. A pleasing sacrifice to you.
Head bowed and eyes closed. As I was reading this week, I was stuck in one set of scriptures all week. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. There's probably many here this morning that have troubled spirits, anxious minds, some very difficult situations you might be facing. Maybe it's you don't want to give God complete control of your life because you don't know where it will lead. But understand, when you're humbling yourself, you're not humbling yourself to another person. You're not humbling yourself to a God that's dead. You're humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, so that he might do the work in your life that he has set out to do, to change you into the image of Jesus Christ. And there can be scary times. There can be hard times. There can be anxious and fearful times. But understand, you are under the mighty hand of God when you humble yourself there. And that gives us the ability to cast our anxiety on him, because he cares for us. The mighty hand of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, cares for us. And it says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You might be in the valley this morning, but understand, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And at the proper time, when it has worked its way in your life, when his truth has worked its way into your heart, he will lift you up. And he himself will restore you. He himself will build you back up. Restore what the locusts have taken. God has promised to do that because he loves you. But what he's called us to do is humble ourselves under him, to give him complete control, to give complete control of our lives to the sovereign King of Kings who loves us, the mighty hand of God. So what is the it that you are withholding from him that he has said to give up this morning? Maybe it's your fears, maybe it's your worries, maybe it's your future, something that you really want. What is the it that is preventing you from coming to God? And I ask that you lay it down this morning. Will I lay it down?
I lay it down.
I lay it down.
I lay it down.
Will I lay it down?
I lay it down.
I lay it down.
I lay it down.
A pleasing sacrifice to you, a pleasing sacrifice to you. Will I lift you up?
I lift you up.
I lift you up. I lift you up.
I lift you up.
I lift you up.
I lift you up.
Well, then freedom will be the song of my heart. And freedom will be the song of my heart.
Freedom is now the song of my heart.
Well, then freedom is now the song of my heart. Well, then freedom is now the song of my heart.
Father, we thank you that we serve such a wonderful, wonderful Savior, that in the mountains, in the valleys, there you were. Even when we couldn't see you, when this life just gets so dark and we don't see any way back to life in general, to life as normal, you are there. And you are leading and you are guiding us. And you have said, you know what, child, I don't want you to fear anymore. I want you to give me those anxieties, those fears about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Give me those. And have peace. And a peace that surpasses all understanding that only comes from you. So, Father, I ask that we do lay ourselves down, that we do humble ourselves under the mighty hand of you this morning. And we would say we are here for you to use in this life. And that you would do something amazing through us as only you can do. That you would change us into the image of Jesus Christ, that a lost and dying world can see a difference in the way that we live out there. So, Father, I ask that as we open up your word, we would not come to your word with preconceived ideas of what we think it means, but we would let your Spirit interpret it for us in a fresh and a new way, and that you would just speak to us now. In your name we can ask this. Amen.
Chosen. Can be a positive word. Can be a negative type of word. Chosen. In a marriage, it's a positive word. We have chosen each other to live a life together. In a negative sense, back in 1973, they were still having the draft for the Vietnam War. Then all males' birthdays would be listed in the number that they had selected. And depending on where your birthday fell was whether you would be drafted or not into the Army. My number was 7. Not a good number. Now that year they thought they were not going to do it anymore, but they did not guarantee that. I'm sitting looking at my number going, now what? At that moment, Sunday morning, phone rang. On this line was a voice that said, Mr. Harwood, this is your federal government. We're here to inform you that you have been chosen to come to the and join the United States Army, and you will have 1 week to get your things ready. And I'm going, it doesn't work that way. What is this all about? It was my best friend. I said, you better not see me for a couple days. That's what I said. Chosen. Chosen. I want you to understand that each of us have been chosen by God Almighty. We get to reject Him, but we have each been chosen to be a part of His family. Throughout history of mankind, God has been calling mankind to himself. We see it all the way back in the garden. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we see that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then in 3, verse 8, we see that he walked with them. In the cool of the evening, when the breezes were blowing, they heard God walking down. The Hebrew actually means that this was something that he did. It was not something unusual. He came down. Now, he had to instruct Adam and Eve. Because how else would they know to leave the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden alone? So there was some instruction. But I don't think he created them with absolute knowledge. I believe he walked with them and he was calling them to himself. Come. Follow after me. Let me tell you about this tree. Let me tell you about this plant. Let me tell you how special this is. That tree of fruit of knowledge in the middle of the garden, stay away from it. But he's got all of these over here. He began calling mankind to himself. And it sounded something like this. Come, follow me. We hear it again in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. For a man by the name of Abraham, living in a heathen area. And he called Abraham out. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. That doesn't mean blameless like you and I think about. But walk with me and honor me is basically what that means. That I will make my covenant between you, me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham, come. Follow me to a place that you don't know where you're going, and I will make you a great nation. Come, follow me. We find it again in Exodus, where God has kept his promise, and the nation of Israel is a vast nation, somewhere between 750,000 Israelites living in Egypt. God's going to bring them out. They're in Mount Sinai now, and God is making a covenant with them. Verse 4 through 6 in Exodus 19, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Come, follow me. And I will make you into something marvelous, a nation of priests, a nation, a holy nation. Come, follow me. We hear those words, those exact words, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, calling disciples to him. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. Now, as we talked last week, it's been about a year between verse 17 and verse 18. During that year, Jesus has been ministering in the Galilean area. He would go to the synagogues and he would teach there as he became known as that rabbi. We know that he's also done some miracles in certain areas, but now there's a push. It's now time to move the kingdom of God forward. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. They were active. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's pray. Father, this seems unusual to us, except we've been reading about it all of our lives. How unusual it is to call, as you have, these, and they leave everything and follow you. The calling to be a disciple. Lord, we're tempted to make this an extremely special calling just for these guys. You were calling them to be apostles. You were calling them. And to some extent, that's true. But mostly, you're calling them to be a follower. And that each one of us has this calling upon our lives. Come, follow me, and I will make you. Now, Father, open up your word in our hearts and our minds that we can understand your voice. And Lord, thank you for this very precious time in your name. Amen. Now, Matthew gives us the impression that this was the first encounter of these men. It was not. The Apostle John records in John chapter 1, some of the 12 had been with Jesus during his earthly ministry over that year of preparation. So during this year, at some point, especially when he was baptized, two of John's followers asked John. John said, "Here is the Son of God, the Lamb of God." And they followed him, and they spent the afternoon talking to Jesus, at least two of them. So we know that there's been some interaction with these men during this year. Jesus knew the men, and the men knew who Jesus was. It was not a hasty decision. I believe that God the Father had been preparing their hearts for this time, wondering what was going to happen. But I want you to notice the same words spoken by God throughout the history of sinful man. Come, follow me, and I will make. Come. Come and follow me. Randy, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and see what he makes out of your lives. He is, in essence, not calling them to apostleship, even though that's where they end up here. That was not this calling. He was calling them to be a follower, a disciple that would walk so close to him that they would know his heart and desires and the words of life, to walk so close to him that they would begin to imitate who he is. They would experience his love. They would experience his devotion for them. In early Jewish writings, it was described a follower of a rabbi that he was to cover himself in the dust of the rabbi's sandals. They would walk so close to the rabbis that when his sandals would kick up dust, they would get covered by it. They wanted to be so close to them that they would hear everything that he said. They would experience everything he experienced. The disciples would walk so close, they were able to watch and imitate his words and actions. Jesus is the one who lived the perfect life. Jesus knows what it is to be perfectly human and God at the same time. And they imitated him. You can even see that today at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. There will be rabbis, old gray-headed rabbis, hunched over, walking with a limp. And you will see his disciples close to him, walking, hunched over, because they want to imitate that rabbi and his teaching. So close to Jesus. That's what Jesus is calling us to do today. To walk so close to him, we can hear his words. We hear his heart. We see, walk so close to him that we see him in Scripture as not just some person who walked and was perfect and died for us. That's all great. But he knows how to live and how to live that blessed life. And he's calling us to that today. The first word, the first command given to sinful man is the word come. The word come. Now, what did or do you mean when you say to your child, come here? What do you mean? What do you mean? Okay. Now, you mean, listen to my voice. Do not ignore me. Do not get distracted on the way. Listen to my voice. Don't ignore me. Don't get distracted. Stop what you're doing or thinking about. Be alert. Come here. Decide to go to their parents simply because of the request. Come here. How often did you go? Come here because I want you to do this. That's not what we normally did, because we would say, come here. And when they're in your presence, you would go, here's what I want you to do. There are all sorts of interactions that could break this down. Okay? Once again, you have called your child to you. They may be so deep into whatever they're doing, your voice becomes background noise. Or you could be considered a husband. One or the other. You're so deep in thought. I have seen kids so engrossed in a game, a video game, that they actually didn't hear you. Okay? they may be in the middle of something that they think is important to them. They may have full intent of obeying after completing what they're doing. I hear you. I'm coming in a minute. They could simply say no in their minds. They will only do it once where you could hear. But in their minds, they may go no. They'll ask again. I haven't heard number two yet. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? They can wait. Now, would you accept that in the life of your child? No. No. You wouldn't accept it. But yet, God calls us to come. And we at times are so busy in our lives, we don't hear His words. We're so consumed with us and the things of our world that we fail to hear His word come. The good thing, He's God, and if He wants our attention, He knows how to give it, get it to us. But there are other times we say, just a minute. Let me get this taken care of first. Once I reach this social status, once I get these bills paid, once I get these kids out of my house, whatever that is, understand we're saying, just a minute, God. What I'm doing is more important than what you have to say to me. The Greek word for come simply means to go or come out of. Come out of where you're at. Come out of the process that you're using. Come out of where you're at. Come to me. It means to go or come out of, but always move forward to where God is at. I see where you're at. I see the cares you're going through. I know the hurts that you experience. I know the struggles you're going through. I know the fears that rise up in your heart. I know the rejection that you have experienced. Come. Come to me. Just a minute, Lord. Just a minute. God, my life is a mess. And I need you to clean it up. You ever said that? His word is very simple. Come. Come. Maybe you have said, God, I need strength to endure. And His word to you is, come. Come. God, I need wisdom. Have you ever prayed that? I need wisdom on what to do here. And His word is the same. Come. God, I want you to come into my world and do these things. And He says, no, I want you in my world so I can do far more than you can even imagine. Come. You can't go or come out of with leaving some things behind. Let that verse, that sentence soak in. There will be some things you have to leave behind. The fishermen, they had to leave their boats and business. Matthew had to leave his tax business. We say amen to that, okay? But he had to leave something. Zacchaeus had to leave his tax business. The Samaritan left her picture there with Jesus, important to her. Paul left his fame and position, rising star in the Pharisees. He had to leave that behind. They left something limited, of limited eternal value, exchanging it for something priceless. If you would ask Paul today, was it worth the trade? He would say, you can't even compare it. If you could ask Peter and James and John and Andrew, was it worth leaving the family business, that security of that family business? Was it worth it? They would say, can't even compare. Did you know where Jesus was taking you? No, we had no clue. We thought He was going to be the King of Kings. We thought we were going to sit on His right and left. There's going to be a struggle who that would be, but I think I would have won. And we had no idea what He had planned. But it is far more glorious and far more eternal than you can even imagine. Does God still offer that to you today? You've got to answer that. Some are ignoring it now. You're doing things that, to try to ignore that voice within you. But does God still offer this today? Does he still call you today to something far greater and far grander than you can even imagine? And the answer is yes. Yes. He still calls us. But we must leave some things behind. It's always that way with God. I can't bless you like you want me to until you let this go. I can't bless you like you cannot even imagine until you step into this spooky spot I've got for you. Come. Come. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 in the Message Bible. We use this verse all the time. Come to me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Did you hear those words of Jesus? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. So the first word to sinful mankind, the first word to us this morning is the simple word, come. But he also gives us our destination. Come out to follow Jesus. Come out of wherever you're at in your mindset. Come out and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Our destination is not a place, but is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. That we would get to know him. That we would see in his word how he lived. That we would see what is important to him. In his word, we would see the promises that he gave us. And know that God will keep those promises to me, regardless of how it looks right now. We are blessed Christians beyond all measure. And the best is yet to come. Not just to flop down, bring your old self and ways with you. Okay, I'm saved. I'm here, Jesus. Take me as I am. I'm not changing. You're going to have a rough time. Because he's going to change you. He's promised to change you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows how to do it. But we can't be sloven. That's a word you don't use every day, is it? Popped into my mind. That means untidy. That means in habits, means lazy, means careless in thought. We are not to be sloven when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be tidy. We need to know who he is. We can't be careless in how we live this life. We accept what he has done for us. You do not know how to be successful in the things of this life that are important, but Jesus does. We will take roads, as we sang earlier, that seems to be dark, but there is Jesus. There is things that happen in our lives because of our own choices and our own way we think, and it has not led to where we thought. There is Jesus. No matter where your life takes you, you will find Jesus there, and he will always say the same thing. Come, follow me. It can't be that easy, Randy. We need to learn all this stuff, and we need to give up all this stuff. I'm not telling you to give up anything. I'm telling you to come follow Jesus. And he will create within you the image of Jesus Christ. The idea is we come out of ourselves and the present structures that we have around us and walk closely to our master, who does know and has experience living this godly life. He knows how to walk blessed. And we don't. We know how to walk fleshly. But there's Jesus. Some want to follow him at a distance. Understand that. You've been hurt by church. You've been hurt by other Christians. Understand that. That's not Jesus. Come. Follow me. That word follow in the Greek means to accompany, to assist, as well as to follow. Accompany, assist, and to follow. Jesus invites us to come out of this world and accompany him as he walks through this life. Think about that. He longs to spend time with us. Come walk with me. Come walk with me. Accompany me. I will take you where I want you to go. I won't just point the way. I'll take you there. God is inviting us to be with him. Think of that, Christians. This all-awesome, consuming God, holy and righteous, is inviting us to walk along with him. Come, follow me. Let me show you this marvelous thing over here. Let me tell you how this works. Come, follow me. And Jesus invites us to assist him in administrating his work in the kingdom and eternally. Come, accompany me, and help me in the management, in the advancing of the kingdom of God. He is giving us the privilege of purpose. We each have a place and purpose in the kingdom of God right now. Right now. We have, guys, that's blessed. We have a place in the kingdom of God, but we also have a purpose. These men were called, and eventually they became apostles. You're not going to become an apostle. We don't need any more of those. Everything's been written that needs to be written. But there are so many spiritual gifts that God has given us that he wants us to be the kingdom of God where he has us planted now. In our workplace, in our schools, in the hard times we've experienced, to be the Jesus in the rejections of the past, to be Jesus in the hurts of the past, to be Jesus wherever he plants us, whatever doors he happens to open us, he gives us the permission to be his representative, his teacher, his mercy giver in his kingdom wherever we're at. When we take our place in God's kingdom, we are assisting Jesus here on earth. We are part of this. We must remember, though, that it's God's kingdom and not ours. We don't make it ours. We are living in the kingdom as the king has administered. He is the one who gets to set how we act and how we think and what is important, what is not important, how we are to respond in this life. The king gets to decide that. It's his kingdom. We just have the privilege to be a part of it. And he sets the ways and the tone. We do not know how it operates, so we must follow closely and learn from and of him. Not just learn from Jesus, learn who he is, how he thinks. There's very few thou shalt and thou shalt not in the New Testament. But there's a lot of thou probably should. And we take those, and the Spirit of God interacts with our spirit and leads us into this blessed life. We can only do this as we follow him closely. The third thing is God has promised if you come and follow him, in acceptance and purpose and a life full of meaning eternally. As we come and as we follow him, he has promised to accept us, to give us a life of purpose and full of meaning eternally. I call upon these men was to come, follow me, and I will get you to the place where you will gather others into my kingdom. Fishers of men. They had no clue what that meant. So often we want to know everything there is in this call of Jesus Christ and where to go. And most of the time we've got the next step only. Because if he showed us exactly where it would take us, we would be scared spitless. Because it's so marvelous and we can't do it. So he gives us the next step. These guys did not know how to be apostles. But they could follow. They could follow. And they didn't even have all of that right. Right down to the very last day or two. And then they caught it. There's Jesus. Apostleship is not the destination, but the outcome for these men's faith and dedication to Jesus. That was not the destination. The destination was to see Jesus for who he is and to allow him to infect our lives with his glory and his goodness. Our destination is to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and allowing him to make us into what he desires for his kingdom. What happens so often? We don't think he can do it. We've been hurt so bad that no, that can't happen. Or we've been rejected and we don't want to take that next step. Or you're fearful. I can't do this. I don't have the ability to do this. No. It'll take that next step. Take the next step. It's the same call on every one of our lives here today. And every life that has ever or will ever walk on the face of the earth. That call was not just for these four men. That call was not just for the 11 disciples. The call was not just for Mary and Martha and those 150 that followed him. The call is for everyone on the face of the earth. Come, follow me, and I will make you. I will make you fit for the kingdom of God. Not because you are, because I am. Come, follow me. You will find that he accepts us just the way we are. But he promises to make us into something glorious. A child of the living God eternally. That's his promise. Now folks, it's a hard row to hoe sometimes. But he's God. He knows how to do it. You will find your life will have purpose. We are servants of the living God being used in ways we cannot even imagine. I am a servant of the living God in whatever fashion he has us. Jesus did not call the qualified. Rather, he qualified the call. These guys had no clue what it meant to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. No clue. But he qualified them because they walked along beside him. And they began to change. They began to see things as Jesus did. It took them some time. And there were still struggles after that. But the thing they knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They knew that Jesus had been crucified. They knew that Jesus had been buried. They knew that Jesus was alive. And that was enough for them. Tell me where I need to go. Tell me what we're supposed to do. Our lives have been lived with meaning and purpose. In other words, when we take that last breath and we have been active in the kingdom of God, it will have meant something that we have been on this earth. Think of that. Most of us want our lives to have meaning and purpose. And that happens in the kingdom of God. It has meant something that this person has lived on this earth. You have blessed others. You have introduced others to the kingdom of God. Your life has meaning and purpose. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6, verse 20. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy it and where thieves do not break in and steal it. Store up your treasures in heaven. So God has chosen you, each one of you. God has chosen each one of you to be his. He chooses boys and girls, men and women, grandpas and grandmas to be his modern day disciples and followers. That's us. We are his modern day disciples. He has chosen us by his grace. There is no reason that he should choose any one of us as we were sinful. By his grace, he is offering his choice to us to believe in him as our only Lord and Savior. As we come to him through the cross of Jesus alone. We bring nothing to this relationship. But we do get to exchange ourselves for the grace of Jesus Christ. He has called us to stand firm in the truth of his word. Do not let this society take that away from you. Do not let them redefine what words are for you. Look at what Jesus did, how he lived, what was important to him. It's still important today. Still important how we live today. And you will find it in his word. But he has chosen us to serve him lovingly through service to those around us. We minister to those around us as he opens the doors. He has chosen us to be faithful and joyfully following wherever he leads us. I'm not saying every one of them is good. It's easy. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But we will faithfully and joyfully follow him, knowing that whatever he leads us through, whatever he has brought us through, it is for our blessing and he will use it in his kingdom. I read a story this week about a lady telling of her struggle with the reality of being an unwanted child. Her mother was a prostitute and she was accidentally a byproduct of her mother's occupation. although her life's pilgrimage had brought her to faith in Christ, blessed her with a deeply Christian husband and beautiful children, and giving her life of love and stability, she was obsessed with the need to find out who her father was. This obsession was affecting her marriage, her family, and her life. Look at all the blessings she's got. But this obsession was tarnishing that. She told how one day she was standing at the kitchen sink washing dishes with tears of anguish flowing down her face. Frustration. She cried out, "Oh God, who is my father?" Then she said she heard a voice saying behind her, "I am your father." The voice was so real, she said, she turned to see who had come into the kitchen. But there was no one there. Again, the voice came, "I am your father, and I have always been your father." In that moment, she knew the profound reality that Paul was speaking of. She came to know that deeper than the accident of her conception was the eternal purpose of a loving God who had spoken to her forth into being before the foundation of the world. "I am your father. I'm the one who loves you intimately. I am the one who have called you forth. God the Father desires you. If you will only come to him through Jesus Christ, who demonstrated your heavenly Father's love for you by dying on the cross. For God has so loved us that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, will be called and accepted into his kingdom. But it is your choice. Just as it was Adam and Eve's choice to listen to the voice of the serpent and obey it, you had the choice to listen to the voice of a loving heavenly Father saying, "Come. Follow me. And I will make you into something glorious." Let's pray. Father, it's difficult to grasp the simplicity of your word and also the depth of your word. As there's some struggling this morning, who am I? Why is my life a mess? I shouldn't have parents like that. I should have done this differently. I shouldn't have married this person. I should have done this. I should have. When you are offering us the reality, come. Leave those things behind. Come. Follow my son. And I will make your life something glorious. Too wonderful for us to even imagine. Lord, we get distracted. We get too busy. We push the hurts and stuff back in the back and hope they never come out. Shut the door and say, "Do not disturb," but it still comes out and disturbs. Lord, teach us to look faithfully into your face and say, "I trust you. I trust that you have laid the penalty of my sins upon the back of Jesus Christ. And I trust that if I ask you, you will forgive me of my sin debt. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Adopt me into your family. I trust that you will do everything you've promised to do. Now teach me to walk with you. Close. Close enough that I can bend over and touch those who are hurting. Close enough to Father, just accept those who are struggling. Close enough to know that I don't have all the answers, but you do. Close enough to know that you will take me where you want me to go. But I must choose. So today I will choose Jesus. I will hear his voice to come, and in my mind I will see myself coming up and leaving all the things behind that hold me back. In my mind, let me see me walking up to this risen Lord, asking, will you accept me? Hearing his voice say, you are mine. And then trusting him to take me, and I will follow behind. The hard things, the not so hard things, the things that don't look like blessing, we will joyfully accept them because you are bringing glory into our existence and our being. Father, we must make that decision. Lord, I can't do it for anyone else but me. And I ask that you give us that strength to do that now as we just simply come, follow Jesus, and allow you to make us for your glory. Amen. Stand with me, please. We will sing
288.
288 in the big book. Folks, altars are open if you need those. Don't leave here the same. Don't leave here with the baggage that you came in with. Don't leave here with the all of that. Just come and come quickly as we sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he
bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. The piano will keep playing. It's really too easy to ignore the words and ignore the voice of the Lord within you and sing. It's easy to do that. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from being the person that God is leading you to be? What hurt is back there? What rejection is back there? What fear is back there? What's keeping you from taking that next step? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? That's the first step. None of this is possible without Him. What's preventing you? What fear? What idea? It's real easy to sing here, wherever He leads, I'll follow. It's a lot harder to do out there. What's preventing you from being the person God wants you to be today? That you must leave. Where He leads, that's what He's doing, is leading you. Let's sing again. Truly blessed people.